Good morning, ladies. It's really good to see you, and I'm glad to be here with you. My name is Beverly Moore, and I'm on the counseling staff here at Faith Church. I'm from San Antonio originally, and my husband and I moved here in December of 2001, and we have two boys, and they both graduated from Purdue, and so we're empty nesters. So before we begin, I'd just like to pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. We thank you that you are so good to us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. And I pray that, Father, that you would really help us as we talk about this subject, that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see, and that we would understand so that we can be a blessing to those that come to us that are struggling with this issue. We just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we begin, I'd like to remind us of just some of the fundamentals that we should keep in mind when we're counseling hurting women. We want to follow what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So as biblical counselors, we want to understand what our counselees are struggling with so we can discover where change is needed, come alongside and enter their world, give them hope, speak the truth in love as we help them understand where their thinking needs to be transformed and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the living Word of God. And we want to try to determine where our counselees need to change first and need to change most. I find that it's really hard to change in multiple areas at the same time. So let's see how we can apply these fundamentals to the problem of self-forgiveness. We need to develop a biblically accurate view of forgiveness. When counseling someone who is struggling to embrace God's forgiveness, our hope and our goal as counselors is that that person would learn to have a biblically accurate view of forgiveness, of God, themselves, and the gospel. A biblical definition of forgiveness is to release from legal or moral obligation or consequence to cancel, remit, or pardon a debt that's owed. Forgiveness is a transaction between two parties, the one who sinned and the one who sinned against. So we hear a lot of voices regarding this topic, and as biblical counselors, we know that the only true source of truth is God's Word. And we can be thankful that the Scriptures address this important subject. So what I'd like to do now is I would like to talk about a counselee that I had, and I'll call her Jennifer. Jennifer came to me because she just couldn't forgive herself for things she had done, choices she had made. She also struggled with doubting her salvation, and she doubted God's ability and willingness to forgive her. Jennifer told me that she was a believer and that she had accepted God's salvation through Christ in her late teens, early 20s. She was in her second marriage and divorced her first husband several years earlier. While married to her first husband, she had committed adultery, and so had he. Her first husband had been a drug addict, and she said she just couldn't take it anymore and chose to divorce him. A few years later, she married her second husband, who she is currently married to, and he's not a believer, but he was willing to take care of her, and that appealed to her since she was dealing with several health issues. So if you think about it, she committed adultery, she divorced her first husband unbiblically, and she willfully married an unbeliever. So by now you can see why she was struggling. She lives in constant torment with these thoughts of self-recrimination and condemnation. She just can't forgive herself, nor does she believe that God could or would ever forgive her. All this expresses an underlying problem of self-righteousness and a lack of realistic self-knowledge. So here's some questions that we need to consider. Does Jennifer need to forgive herself? Is self-forgiveness a biblical concept? Is she beyond God's forgiving grace? Is there something more going on here? And what are the ruling desires of her heart? So we need to think about some reasons why we or a counselee would struggle with this issue of forgiveness. Number one, we doubt that a holy God will ever accept us after what we've done. We think our sin is too big or too awful for God to forgive. Maybe number two, we continually repeat our sin, feeling trapped in a never-ending cycle of defeat and despair. Number three, we fail to grasp the holiness of God and his hatred of sin, so we fail to see our sin as a direct offense against God. Number four, we attempt to establish our own standard of righteousness and feel defeated and unforgivable when our performance doesn't measure up to our satisfaction. Number five, we fail to grasp the depth of God's forgiving grace through the sacrifice of his son's life. Six, we fail to appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We become complacent about the cross, or worse yet, we treat God's grace with contempt. And number seven, we come to the conclusion that there's nothing we can possibly do to make things right. We have to think biblically about forgiveness if we're going to help people struggling with the issue of forgiveness. So what does God's word say about needing to forgive yourself? Nothing. The scriptures tell us we need God's forgiveness and we need to forgive one another as we have been forgiven, but says nothing about a person forgiving herself. This concept of self-forgiveness did not originate with scripture, but from secular psychologies that have infiltrated the church by sprinkling some Bible verses into the mix to make it sound Christian. This could also tie in with the self-esteem and felt needs teaching. We need to feel good about ourselves, and our felt needs have to be met in order to do so. So, to think biblically about forgiveness, we have to think biblically about God. And a good place to start is with the gospel and what specifically was accomplished on the cross for us. So I wanted to make sure that Jennifer understood the gospel. I didn't want to take for granted that she had a proper understanding. So we studied 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, to make sure we had a firm foundation. Those verses say, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you were saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." We also spent time in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, so that she could see that salvation is a gift from God, all by his grace, and that there's nothing we can do to earn or deserve his forgiveness. We also discussed why Christ was crucified. I wanted to make sure she understand why Christ had to die on the cross. We looked at Romans 3, 10 through 12, which say, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away, and they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." We looked at Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, which say, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Colossians 1:21 says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." So as we studied these verses, Jennifer began to understand that no one can ever measure up to God's righteous standard. Sin has separated us from a holy God. The wages of sin is death, so someone has to pay the penalty, either us or Jesus. She understood that she deserved God's righteous condemnation for her sins. Jennifer's thinking had to be renewed and transformed by the truth of God's word. She was struggling with forgiveness because she had a shallow view of the cross and of Christ's magnificent sacrifice on her behalf. So we need to think about the cross. All of life needs to be interpreted through the cross. That is our ultimate interpretive concept. To think truly, think about what truly happened on the cross. Here's a quote from Charles Spurgeon. "He stripped off first one robe of honor and then another, until naked he was fastened to the cross. There he emptied his inmost self, pouring out his lifeblood. giving himself for all of us. Finally, they laid him in a borrowed grave.